I wrestle with what to preach tonight. You know, we're going through 2 Peter right now, and I thought about preaching from there. But Lord willing, I'll do that the next time. But I wanted to give coordinating message with this morning, but maybe just a little different look at it, because I spoke this morning about the old versus the new, that message of grace not being accepted by people who were so stiff and so constrained by the Old Testament laws and the things that were demanded of people. And so much so, you might go away from here thinking, well, that doesn't matter then. Well, however a person lives, they just need to come to the gospel. And that's true. You just come. Some people say, well, I've got to get my life straightened up before I can come to be saved. You understand? You can't straighten your life up. You don't get straightened up just so you can come. That'd be like saying, if I've got something wrong with me, I'm going to get it all fixed, and then I'm going to go to the doctor and let them know what's wrong so they can help me with what's wrong. You go to the doctor when you're sick, and they hopefully get you better. And the same it is with salvation. But on the other side of that, there is a great command to all of us that do know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great command that we don't start looking at other people and say, well, I don't know about that person. I don't know about that person. And we're not supposed to be judging them whether they are or not on their way to heaven. But we certainly should be looking on the inside of us and making sure that our works and our attitudes and our actions match up with somebody who has real live faith. So I want you to look in James chapter 2, if you would. I just want to preach this one message and trust will be a blessing to us over the next moments. Verse number 14 of James 2, we're looking about this, integrating faith into our lives. We're integrating it. I mean, you're getting it involved into your daily lives. Because if you've got a faith and it doesn't go outside these doors, you don't have much of one. That means if the people at this church are the only ones that know you're a Christian, the people where you work, they don't know. You're doing something wrong. Now, I understand you may be saying, Pastor, I'm not allowed to preach at church. I'm not allowed to get a group together and have a Bible study. I understand. I didn't say you had to do that. But if you work there very long because of your faith that's inside of you, because of what's driving you, you ought to be known by the ways that you act and you don't act and you react. And so we ought to integrate our faith into our lives. In James 2:14, what doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? And we could say, can that kind of faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And I could ask you the same question. If there's somebody that in your circle, your family or circle or some neighbor, and they have a need tonight, and their children are hungry, and you've got the wherewithal to do something about it, and you say, I'm not going to help you. I'm going to pray for you. I've got great faith, but that faith is not driving me to go into my pantry and get some of the stuff and bring it out to you. The answer to the question when it says, does that really help that person? And the answer is no. Your faith might do you some good, but it's not doing that person any good. That's what basically it's trying to get across. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. At least it's dead to that person right then, because your faith is not helping them not be hungry, being alone. Verse number 18, yea, a man may say that that thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And I'll stop right there. That last phrase, I will show thee my faith by my works, that should be a challenge to everybody in this room. You ought to be taking the challenge to show everybody that you live around, that you work around, that you would live in a home with, and say, I'm going to show you, I'm done speaking, I'm going to show you that I've got faith, I'm going to show it to you by my works. I've had many people tell me that, don't tell me that you can just say a little prayer and then that means you're ready for heaven just because you said these words. And I can tell you this, if all somebody did was utter words and they weren't sincerely from their heart, they weren't seeking the Lord, they weren't calling on His name, then that person is right. That's no good. But however, if we prayed a prayer in faith and asking the Lord to save us, then that prayer of faith, that faith that we place in the Lord Jesus Christ and when He saved us, then that brings along some work with it. You shouldn't mind somebody looking at you and saying, why don't you show me you're a Christian? That's a challenge you and I should willingly take. We may not like it all the time, but we should willingly take it. Look in verse number 18. We see the responsibility of integrating our faith. I'm talking about integrating it into our daily lives. If you're introducing something or somebody into a new school, they're integrating into that, or maybe they're integrating a new software system into their business. They're integrating that. They're going from what they used to be. Now they're integrating this new software. We're looking at this responsibility of integrating our faith into our daily lives. In verse number 18 says, at the end that we mentioned, I will show thee my faith by my works. The responsibility, I'm drawing those first two words, I will show thee my faith by thy works. Sometimes Christians will say, I don't think it's fair that people look at me so harshly. I don't want to be on display. I want a day off. I want to be not responsible for how I live. I don't want people to look at me. I don't want to live in a glass house. I don't want people to determine what Jesus is like just by looking at me. And I understand the frustration that you have, but all I can say is too bad. Because people will look at you and make some determinations about Jesus Christ and about what faith does and what religion looks like by you. You say, I don't want them to. Too bad. They're going to do it. And so there's a responsibility. I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, that's why it's so sad when we see church folks, people that know the Lord Jesus Christ, people of faith. It's so sad when you see them bickering back and forth and undercutting and backbiting one another because somebody less than you is going to be somebody less spirit-minded than you is going to be watching them as well. You see somebody fighting in church, and I don't mean knock down, drag out, although that would qualify, but I'm talking more of the verbal fighting, backbiting, and saying this about somebody and that about somebody else. To you as a Christian, say, well, happens to the best of us. But you know that unsaved neighbor is not going to give him that benefit of the doubt? And so what the scripture says, I will show thee, I'll show my faith by my works. I think about if we could go down here in the auditorium and say, I like you, and 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 somebody said, well, you really like so-and-so, you really like that person, they're a real friend to you, aren't they, or this or that. And can I tell you that my faith as a Christian ought to make me like everybody in this room? You say, yeah, but you don't have things in common with some of them. Well, if you're saved and I'm saved, I've got a lot more in common with you than I do somebody that likes cars or likes hunting or likes fishing or likes whatever it is that you may like. You've got more in common with that person that's saved and doesn't like those things than you do with that person that isn't saved and does like those things. And so I'm saying, though, to us that even those people that you don't like that well, that you don't have a close relationship with, your faith should drive us to be nice to that person. You've ever heard the statement, you're supposed to love everybody. Some people are hard to like, but you got to love everybody. I'm not allowed to do and say whatever it is I want. I'm supposed to live by my faith. And my faith is supposed to be such a part of me that my works show what my faith knows. And if yours is not, then you need to check up on that and make sure that your faith is getting from the inside to the outside. Mark it down. You and I are not saved by works. There's no way that you can read that Bible and truthfully say that you're saved by the actions or the lack thereof that you do. But your faith that isn't secured by your works, but that faith that Christ, that you have in Christ, it should bring some work along with it. Amen. How's that? It's not straddling the fence. That's just what the scripture says. You never will you get to heaven and say, I deserve to be here because of the way I lived. Never. But the way you live down here should be altered by the faith that you and I say we have. I'm not going to judge you or anybody else to say, well, I don't look like they're a Christian by the way they're living. But it's not a stretch to think that somebody that you live around wouldn't be saying that. So I have a responsibility to integrate my faith into my daily lives. If you get mad and cuss and scream and throw things at somebody out there, you're not showing much faith. You know that old-timey ways, you think about playground, boys on a playground, and one says, my dad can do this, or my dad can do the other. Well, sometimes they'll get bragging about what they can do. Well, I can throw that further than you can, or I can hit harder than you can, or I can do this. And oftentimes that other boy that you're bragging about, he'll say two words, prove it. And that means put up or shut up. It means do it. Well, we can talk a lot about this faith, but if this faith is not causing you, driving you to be a kind somebody, being kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, if this is not causing you to bear one another's burdens in Galatians chapter 6, if this is not causing you to be a better husband, if this is not causing you to be a better wife, this is not causing you to be somebody, then my friend, you are not letting the faith get to the outside like it should. As I said, this is maybe the companion message of this morning, because coming to Christ isn't you taking a part of that salvation. You can't do anything to be saved. But after God saves you, that kind of faith should bring that working attitude in your heart, and you should be able to tell a big difference after you're saved. There's responsibility. But you got to look back in chapter 1, verse number 21. Not only is there a responsibility to integrate our faith, but verse number 21 of the previous chapter, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, meaning just an excess of sinfulness, just a lot of it, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You getting all of that? You receive that with meekness, the engrafted word, the word of God, which is able to save your souls. So you may be saying, I have a responsibility to integrate my faith into my Christian life, but I don't know if I have the oomph, or the power, or the ability to do it. And I would go further, you don't have the ability or the power to do it, but you do have a resource to help you do it, because the Bible says you receive that engrafted word which is able to save your souls, and after your soul is saved and you know Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life, and now you are a new creature. You've got this resource for integrating your faith. Remember as a kid when you would play and you would make up things, you would say, well, if I had this, I would have this super duper gun that was able to do this. And then what's your best friend do? He says, oh yeah, but I got an even better super duper gun that's able to squash your super duper gun. I'm bringing out the secret weapon. And your imagination was the only thing that limited on you how powerful your tools or your weapons could be. Well, we have the super secret weapon that, like that kid said, would overcome the bad guy. We have this super, if you want to look at it as the super weapon, we receive with meekness the engrafted word. You understand what we have at our disposal. And for some of us to say, I can't live that way. I can't be responsible for being kind and gracious and loving and forgiving and sweet and nice. I can't do all those things. I don't have it within me. And you're right, you don't have it in yourself. But if the Lord Jesus Christ saved you and the Holy Spirit of God lives within you and the Word of God is your daily food, then you have the resource to integrate your faith into your daily life. If don't ever say, I just can't live a Christian life, because you're right and you're wrong. You're right that you can't, but that you're wrong that you can't, because you're wrong because the Lord wants to live it through you. The resource. This book is supernatural. And as you get in it, and I know that we don't understand that. I talk to people oftentimes, and I'll ask them when they're having problems, are you reading your Bible? It doesn't have anything to do with this. That's not what I came to get help from you for. I know, but are you reading your Bible? That doesn't have anything to do with me fighting with my husband over there. That doesn't have anything to do with me. I know, but just tell me, are you reading your Bible? Because this book is a supernatural book. And as that supernatural book gets in us, it works its way out of us because it's alive. That's the resource. And I'll give you this last one. Not only do we see the resource, but we also look at the results of integrating your faith. Back in verse number 18 of our text that we looked at, he says, yea, a man say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith. And then I'm going to focus on the last part of the verse, by my works. The scripture writer didn't mind the inspiration of God, is you God's using him, but doesn't mind writing to say, I'm going to be on display. The results of integrating my faith are that you should be able to tell I have faith. I mentioned it just a service or two ago. Somebody asked this, if you were put on trial for a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being one? The results of integrating my faith would be that people see. What do you think people think about you? I'm talking about the people you work with, not just people you pass along the way one time, one and done, you just saw them and they didn't even talk to you. I'm not talking about that. It's not like a glow is around you. But the people that are with you on a regular basis, what do they think about you? They may not know that you were at church Sunday morning and Sunday night and you're planning to be on Wednesday night. They won't know all that, but they should know something different about you. There should be some results in there. No, we all like to see results, the before and the after picture. Sometimes you'll see it on the internet or you'll see it on some, even on TV sometimes, but there'll be a before and after picture. Usually it's some weight loss product or some workout product or some hair restoration product, whatever it is. But I'm always amazed that they take that before picture and it looks like this person just woke up and there's bad lighting and their face is drawn down like this and they're slumped over and they look bad. That's the before picture. And then you've ever said, what was those places you used to go to the mall where they would, glamour shots, where they would take those pictures of you, they spruce them all up, and everything. And the after picture looks like the lighting is just right. The lady now, she has makeup on, her hair is all fixed over there. Looked like she just lost her 13 best friends. But now over here, looks like she just won the lottery. It's like, wow. And so before and after probably had nothing to do with the product they're trying to sell. But we all like the after results. We all like results. Well, the results of integrating my faith into your Christian, my Christian life, and you integrate it into your Christian life is that I'll show my faith by my works. So every single one of us as Christians, if you're saved in here tonight, you are supposed to be on display out in this. Where is it, Brother John? I don't want to be on display. Too bad. You are on display. You're going to be a good, you're going to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ this week. Because I don't want to be. Too bad. You're going to be. Now, I don't know whether you're going to be a good one or a bad one, but you're going to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a billboard. And the results of integrating my faith is that I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, I want to give you these three or four here. Back in chapter 1, verse number 13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And it goes on and say then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. It talks about this temptation. But we also know that the way to fight that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. So the results of integrating my faith is, number one, we resist temptation. You say, I just can't do anything. When that comes at me, I just can't fight it. You can fight it with the Word of God. Flee youthful lust, the Bible says. Bible gives us commands, and if you have struggles with people with different sins and besetting sins and weights that does so easily beset us, we have those things. They're problematic for any of us. I've seen so many times that people put little Bible verses everywhere that they're around because when they're tempted, they want to have the Word of God to strengthen them. When we integrate our faith into our lives, it helps us resist temptation. Chapter 2, verse number 1, it not only does that, but helps us regard other people. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Verse 2, for if there come unto you an assembly... Come unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring, goodly apparel. There come in a poor man in the vile of raiment. You remember the story. And you're going to have respect to him that weareth the gay or the special clothing, the good clothing and all of that. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And say to the poor, stand thou here or sit here under my footstool. One of the results of integrating my faith is not only resist temptation, but then restraining or regarding rather other people. Don't say that you're somebody of faith and then look down your nose at somebody because they don't have what you have. Now, we've got great ways to excuse our ugly attitude. We say, well, yeah, but I'm not so worried about how much they have, but now if they'd worked harder, they would have more than they've got. We've got plenty of ways to excuse it, but can I just remind you of what you used to know as a kid as well? When somebody would pass your dad, like my dad, and somebody would be having an obvious rough time, the old timers would say something like this, there but by the grace of God go I. Right? And so when I integrate my faith, one of the results is that I regard other people like they should be. But then we just work our way through James here, chapter 3, Verse number 5, the Bible says, even so the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, and that's certainly we could preach a lot about that. Many of us could. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. But let me just stop and say that not only will my integrated faith help me resist temptation, regard other people, but it'll help me restrain this tongue of mine. I don't like this one very well, because I like to be quick on the draw. When something happens, I like to give it right back to folks. But did you know that your faith will change your tongue? It will change what you have to say back to people. Did you realize, and this might be a revelation for some young person in here, just because you think it doesn't mean you should say it? There is that faulty thinking that, well, I've already thought it, I might as well say it. No. I've already thought it, I might as well do it. No. Nobody goes to jail for thinking something. But you go to jail for plenty of doing stuff. We always think of profanity, and that's certainly one that your tongue ought not to be guilty of. But so much more than that. I think I'd rather have somebody cuss at me than talk about me for the next 2 days behind my back. At least you knew what was coming the front way. But restrain my tongue. And then chapter 4, if you want to turn over a little bit. These are just some things we've picked out of this passage, verse number 6 of chapter 4. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. What's the result of integrating my faith? It helps me refuse pride. When I integrate my faith into my Christian life and I let it live out in me, it's going to be hard for me to think myself better than other people. Pride's still an ugly sin to God. Satan started it, it's still going strong. Now, it presents itself in a lot of ways. Some of them are a little bit more dressed up, and some of them are just pure ugly, but they're all ugly to the Lord. And then the last one, might as well give you one more, chapter 5, verse number 14. Any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. You say, Pastor, is that in the Bible? It sure is. Not the kind of healing lines that you might see at a televangelist crusade, but certainly in there. Let him call for the elders of church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Not only these others, but the last one, rely on prayer. Without living by faith, you rely on you. What can I do to make it happen? If you're not living in faith, you try to conjure up a solution every single time. But if you're living by faith, you rely on the Lord. Because as you're living by faith and letting it integrate into your life, you realize that you don't have the wherewithal to make it happen. There's people in this room right now, they know good and well, and they're very convinced of it. Hadn't been for the Lord, they would not have made it through struggles of their life. There's widows in this room, widowers. You know, if it hadn't been for the Lord, you couldn't have made it through. There's other folks that have had very, very difficult health diagnoses, and without the Lord, you wouldn't have made it through. You know that. What did you do? You integrated faith in your life, and you relied on prayer, relied on the Lord to get you through. So, we've got a responsibility. I will show thee my faith by my works. So sometimes we preach that message this morning that it's not of works, and it isn't. But then sometimes you think, okay, well, if it's not of works, then it doesn't matter how you live. That's not true either. Because after a person comes to that wide open invitation of whosoever will may call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever, that wide open invitation, after you come to the Lord, then that same Lord that saved you starts working in you. And then you see some things changing. It won't be overnight. That's where it's wrong for that Pharisee over here to say, well, if he was really saved, he'd have quit that. Maybe he wouldn't have, not as fast as you want him to. But that wide open invitation is for whosoever. But whosoever does, then that faith is going to start working in their life. And that faith needs to be integrated into their life and seeing a great change. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray that we'd be faith-filled Christians. Lord, I pray that you would help us in that. As the ladies come and play, we're going to have our invitation. Just take a moment here. Maybe God spoke to your heart and you want to confess it to him. You don't confess it to me, that's for sure. If you want to pray, you can come down the front or you can pray there in your seat. And I'd be glad to pray with you if you choose to do that. But here's my invitation. I challenge everyone in this room to say, my faith hasn't been living out much. I've been living my faith out in my life. It's time to start. It's time that people start realizing we're Christians. Integrate that faith into our Christian life. If you're here tonight and you don't have that salvation, you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then my invitation is to you to come. Let me take a scripture of the Bible and show you how you can be sure Jesus is your Savior. As they begin to play, you come. You can remain seated, but if somebody needs to get out, let them out. Would you come? Are you living that faith-filled life? Are you living that life? Do people at your work know you're a Christian? Is it going to shock them sometime when you invite them to church? What? I didn't know you went. Or are they going to say, I knew there was something about you? If you're living a faith-filled life, it won't shock them.
God is working on your heart. Sing together with me day by day. Day by day. And
every passing moment.
To share that with you tonight, and we're going to have a special, and we're thankful for Maddie Brown being here recently, but she's planning to head back this week, and while we had her here, we figured we'd get a little bit more work out of her and let her sing one more time for us, and Maddie and Allie and Becca joining her as well, and then after this song, then I'll introduce Brother David to you.
Strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I seek, you are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool, you are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name, you are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up, when I am dry, you fill my cup, you are my all in all.
Jesus,
When the dark powers had done their worst, Jesus brought victory o'er the curse. You are my all in all. Death could not hold the King of Kings. Now to his heirs new life he brings. You are my all in all. Jesus,
precious
Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin. Praise of